Welcome to Perspective Transformation Radio, enjoying its 10th anniversary, often the number one live-airing broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and reaching a global audience of over 185,000 listeners. During this hour-long interview-style program, you'll meet Perspective Transformers, who come to share their most pivotal, life-changing insights and aha moments, offering you instant access to life, leadership, and God-loving seismic shifts of your own. We encourage you to invite friends to join you here now or share quotes with attribution and also reach out to our sponsor, womenspeakers.com. Womenspeakers.com is the most popular online connecting place for Christian event planners and Christian women speakers since 2002. I'm your host, Marnie Swedberg, and I encourage you to grab a notepad and get ready to meet today's Perspective Transformer. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. Excited to have you here. Our topic today is Insider Secrets to Shine on Camera with our guest from Johannesburg, South Africa, Naomi Estimate. During this hour, you're going to be sure to grab some kind of a notepad because you're going to want to take notes here. You're going to discover the insider secrets to shine on camera in your personal photos and videos, 7 simple but essential tips to help you pose more attractively in photos, how to optimize your headshots so you make a great first impression, 5 key pointers for accessing effectively in personal branding shots, 6 top video presentation tips to help you share your message like a pro, an insider strategy to maximize the impact of your message on video, and 5 secrets to script compelling videos that capture your viewers' attention. Naomi Estimate is our guest today. She's a personal branding photographer, videographer, speaker trainer, and award-winning blogger. She's passionate about helping visionary but camera-shy women shine on camera and become the stars of their own brand. You can learn more about her at her website, NaomiEstimate.com. Welcome to you, Naomi.
Thank you so much, Marnie. I'm excited to be here, and I really appreciate the special opportunity. Thank you.
And I love your accent. That's awesome. So I met you when you were presenting on someone else's program, and I was just wowed by your professionalism and what you have put together to help us be the best on camera that we can. Thank you so much for all of your work over the years to bring us this training today.
Oh, thank you, Marnie. I really appreciate that. And likewise, I'm really inspired by the wonderful work that you do in the world. So it was fantastic to connect with you. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's so wonderful to have you. So let's go ahead and dive in because we have a lot of ground to cover. So first of all, you have some insider secrets to help us shine on camera. Why don't you tell us a few of those?
Okay. So yes, there's so much I can say. So let's start off with the most important thing, which is to be yourself. Nothing is more key for unforgettable photos and videos than that. And that means your authentic, spontaneous, real-life you. So, you know, we all go through moods, and it's often fleeting moment to moment, and these show up on our faces, and they're amplified, actually, by the camera. So it's really important to relax and let go of attachment to the outcome so that you're free to have fun with your shoots. Because, after all, this is the digital age, so you can always delete and repeat, as my husband says. So most importantly, remember that if there's one thing that I've learned in more than 15 years of professional photography and videography, it's the truth in this, that we can all shine on camera by learning the skill set and also internalizing this profound truth from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he said, pretty is something you're born with, but beautiful, that's an equal opportunity adjective.
I like it. So you have 7 simple but essential tips to help us pose more attractively.
Oh, hold on, yes, but I haven't finished yet with my insider secrets. Can I just run through a couple of those first before we get to posing?
Please.
so one thing is to really just get in front of the camera and get a friend or family member to take a bunch of photos and just let you play. So a client of mine did this simple thing after we met at an event where she was presenting, and she shared with me that she rated her confidence on camera as 0 on a scale of 1 to 10. She was so inspired by our brief conversation that she asked her sister, who's not a photographer, to take some pics of her. And she said to me she got about 3 photos out of literally hundreds that she actually liked, but that was enough to lift her confidence on camera and her estimation from 0 to 3 on that scale, just in one session. So that's a starting point. The other thing is that it's really important. I love to hear you laughing, Marnie, because it's very important to be able to laugh at yourself, or at least to not take yourself too seriously. So something you can do to help let go of your inhibitions and have a whole lot of fun in front of the camera is to try out a variety of different expressions, almost exaggerating each one. So, for example, think of things like happy, sad, angry, confused, frustrated, sexy, surprised, joyful, cheeky, thoughtful, serene. So you'll be amazed if you do this, how you can actually help to break the ice and start being yourself, which is really important. One of my favorite things is when clients of mine who might be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or even older, for the first time love their photos. And one of the things they'll say is, I look like myself, which is really important for you to love your photos and for them to connect with your audience.
I love this. This is so great. So the first time I ever got a picture that I really liked from a professional, we had done this thing where she had me put this board in front of me and then whip the board away and smile. And in that moment, I had the most authentic smile. So what you're saying about playing and just doing different things that you normally wouldn't do is so valuable.
Yes, and thank you. Now you've led perfectly into the next tip, which is similar but slightly different. So this is if you don't like smiling on camera. And trust me, there are many, many women who don't. In fact, according to 2011 statistics shared in the Daily Mail Reporter, 52% of women avoid the camera because they don't like their smile. And I've come across many women who are photographed who don't. So here's something to try. If you turn your face to either side away from the camera and pretend that you're laughing wholeheartedly at a private joke that you're sharing with someone next to you, then as you turn back towards the camera, your smile will settle naturally back into its sweet spot.
Wow.
So that's just it's similar to what you're saying. So it's almost like a distraction, and then you get that spontaneous moment. Another thing is what I call add sparkle. So this is really key, to think of one specific person who you love, or you can help immediately with your message, and imagine looking through that camera lens directly into their eyes, at the same time infusing sparkle into your own eyes as you do. You know, science tells us that our mind can hold only one thought at a time. So if you're thinking sparkle, you're going to sparkle. And we all want to feel special. So you can convey this feeling to your imaginary person on the other side of the lens. And this will help you to smile naturally, bearing in mind that your most compelling photos and videos can be captured when you have that sincere individual attention and connection in your mind. And remember that the sparkle comes from you. Your photographer or your videographer's job is to capture it, but they can't create it and put it in your eyes for you.
Wow, I love that tip, to look in the lens and actually, as if you're looking at someone you love. I love that. That's beautiful.
Yes, fantastic. And it doesn't have to be a love interest. You know, it might be. That can definitely work, especially with a new love affair. But I, for example, quite often will think of my beautiful stepdaughter or my gorgeous niece, who's also my goddaughter, who they are 35 and 21, respectively. So possibly someone younger who you really love, who you know you can teach something, you know, about life and about your particular topic.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay, and then the next thing, very similar, is ready to relax and have fun again. So, but it's simple, but it's easier said than done sometimes, especially if facing a camera from your previous experience subtly undermines your self-assurance, or even to the worst case, fills you with dread, which is also very common. So the best way, like I've said, to overcome your resistance is to just do it and be willing to make mistakes. Get in front of that lens and play around with poses, settings, styles, outfits, and especially expressions. You know, as pro photographers, we play loads. We don't just point and shoot and get perfect shots every single time, not even with models and actresses. The thing with accomplished models and actresses is often they've learned that and they're willing to make mistakes. So they get in that mood, and that's when the real alchemy and the magic happens.
Wow. So cool.
Okay. Yeah, and then moving on, another tip is to practice posing. So this might feel vain initially, and really confidence on camera once upon a time was the domain of the models and movie stars. But nowadays, thanks to the internet and the incredible opportunities that we all have and the real purpose we have to project our best self in front of the lens for our personal and our business branding, it's really important to practice your posing. So the thing is that you want it to contribute to that beautiful living legacy that you love and that your tribe loves. So it helps you to try things out that work for your body and also your brand, in line with the image that you want to project. And then practice those poses until you can embody them at a moment's notice. This is how professional models become skilled on camera. And the thing is that our bodies have different proportions and we have different inherent styles. So the same poses and the same props don't work for all of us. For example, some people are immediately at ease sitting on a stool. Others are not at all. But they may be really uncomfortable or comfortable on the floor. And some people love to relax on the couch, but others prefer a more formal chair. So this is why it's important to play around and work out what's best for you.
I can really see that. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, and it always helps you also before a shoot to really browse just with an open heart and an open mind, you know, on Pinterest and Instagram and magazines to find inspiration and see things that speak to you in terms of the setting and the poses and the outfits and the lighting, all of that can be very inspiring. Mm-hmm. And then my last insider tip for today, because there are always more, is to ask yourself this million-dollar question. How do I want to make them feel? So this is your audience, your followers, the people who will see your photos or view your videos. Then infuse that feeling into your expression as you face the camera lens. Because being on camera is all about sharing who you are and what you offer with the world. So make it about them, not you. And I absolutely love this quote from Maya Angelou, where she said, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." So don't let them forget.
Oh, my goodness. So awesome. So now you have to, because I have a whole page of notes already, and we're 15 minutes into this program.
Wow.
So have we gotten through the seven simple tips, or was that just the insider secret?
No, that's just the insider secrets. We're going to...
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to fly.
Okay. These are pretty quick. These are pretty straightforward. This is to help you pose more attractively in your photos.
Okay.
So the first one is... Should I kick off, Marnie?
Go, yes, yeah, do.
Yes, okay. So the first is a bit counterintuitive, but, you know, many of us, when we face the camera, we tend to pull our chins back into our necks. Very, very, very common. So just think of bringing your forehead slightly forward and dropping your chin, but a tiny fraction at the same time. Or think of it as bringing your ears forward in order to define your jawline in a more attractive way and get rid of any double chin effects. It may feel awkward at first, but it can be an absolute game changer for your photos.
So that's when one. You said bring the forehead or the ears forward and do what with the chin?
Okay, and you can, so if you think of bringing your ears forward, just keep your chin at the same angle. So your whole face, in other words, is coming slightly forward. And it feels a little awkward because it feels like you're jutting your face forward. But it really, really helps to define your jawline.
Wow, cool. Okay.
So play around a little with that. You'll actually even notice it if you take a selfie on your camera and you just actually bring, sort of jut your face slightly forward so that your chin is also slightly forward and your ears, but your whole face is coming just a fraction forward, almost awkwardly. And you'll see how it defines your jaw. as opposed to pulling your chin inwards, which you don't want.
Okay, cool.
Then the others are pretty simple. To turn your shoulder a slight angle about 30 degrees to either side as you face the camera, but keeping your face naturally turned towards it, because this is a lot more slimming and it introduces an attractive sense of movement in your body. And then similarly, from a slimming point of view, if you're sitting or standing, make sure that your elbows are a bit away from your body to create a gap between them and your waist, so that you have a little gap at your waist that flatters you. That makes a big difference on camera. If you're holding your arms against your body, it looks like one wide torso as opposed to a nice gap there. Then the next one is to lean your torso slightly towards the camera. So this creates an open, engaging attitude towards the lens. And this is key for you to project confidence and approachability to help you connect with those people who are going to look at your photos.
Wow. Cool.
Then, okay, shall I keep going? Number five is to keep your shoulders back, your chest out, and your tummy in, but breathing naturally, because you never want to hold your breath. I can't tell you how often I remind my clients, and I'm talking about models of all experience with this. It makes a tremendous, tremendous difference to the projection in your photos. And a quick tip to help you is to wear high heels, because that immediately helps you just stand up nice and straight and arch your lower back slightly. Then number six is to look directly into the lens for most of your portfolio pics, but also if you want to infuse a bit of variety into some of them, you can try looking away from the camera. But if you do that, look just over your photographer's shoulder rather than obviously to the side, because what you don't want is for your nose to break the contour of your cheek. And you don't want the whites of your eyes to be unnaturally highlighted. So you're looking just off, but not completely away. But you can get some lovely movie shots like that.
When you said you didn't want it to break the contour, I thought you were going to say break the camera.
Break the camera. Yeah, that's you. I've got a big nose, so I'm aware of my nose.
Me too. That's so funny.
Okay, so that works. And then the last tip for posing is just to remind you that the tiny nuances, especially in terms of the confidence that you project in your body posture, make a massive difference to your results. And, I mean, if you look at photos, you'll actually see instantly if your hands or your fingers, or believe it or not, your toes, there's this tension there. So you'll notice that straight away. So think about relaxing your hands and your fingers and letting your neck relax down and letting your toes relax if you're in sandals, for example. And those are my quick seven simple tips to help you pose more attractively.
Well, you guys, if that's all you got today, you are just loaded for bear, but there's more. So let's talk about optimizing headshots. And you say you're phrase on here is to make a great first impression. And it is so true that for a lot of us, the headshot, when people get to our website or to our speaker profile or whatever, when they get there, the first thing they see is this headshot. So how do we make that really rock?
Okay, brilliant. And very important, exactly as you say. So like I mentioned, you want to portray approachability and confidence in your expression and in your posture. So this is to get others interested and open to interacting with you. So flattering lighting is crucial for great profile pics, and plain backgrounds work particularly well. That's fairly obvious. So you might, if it's a professional pic, you might like a completely plain background, like a white or a gray, for example, depending on your branding and the style and mood that you have in mind. Otherwise, go for a shallow depth of field image, which means that your face is in focus, and the background, whatever that is behind you, is blown completely out of focus so that it enhances, but it doesn't distract from you. The important thing is for the focus to be on your face, not your background, and not any striking, bold accessories. Then just a couple of guidelines, which actually come from an article published by Buffer, and this comes from an online tool called PhotoFeeler, which gives feedback on profile pics that are based on votes by actual people. So according to their findings, head and shoulders or head to waist, that's fairly obvious, are the most appealing with unobstructed eyes. And then an open mouth smile that shows your teeth. But you don't want to laugh too widely, because that increases likability, but it also decreases the impression of competence and influence, if that's important for you. And then they mentioned the popularity of that well-defined jawline, which I mentioned. And then also just clothing, but it depends on what your branding is. They say that specifically dark colored suits with light shirts, including ties for men, had the greatest impact on perceived competency and influence. But remembering that that might not be your primary objective. So the key thing is to think about your brand and the message you want to convey.
Right, right. So go, so cool. Yeah, so like at womenspeakers.com, we only allow headshots. And my thinking there is because I don't really want people focusing on the outfit. I want them focusing on the face and able to see the eyes.
Yeah.
That's my hunch is that whoever's there. And, you know, online, some of these pictures are very small. They're like when you put them on a business card. They're so small. So just to keep remembering that your eyes are the window to the soul. And so important that you can see those. Yeah.
Yes, and I see that on your website, Marnie. And good for you because you do. You have fabulous photos. And it immediately makes you want to click and listen to what that speaker has to say, which is fabulous.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you have 5 pointers for accessorizing in branding shots.
Yes. Okay, so we'll can whip through those for you too. So clearly simple accessories that enhance your look but don't vie for attention or overwhelm you are best for your shoots. And again, the focus needs to remain effortlessly on you. But by the same token, don't subdue your personality by under-accessorizing if you are flamboyant by nature. So you always want to stay true to you, just considering how this is going to come across. It's important to mindfully consider the colors that you select for your accessories and your props, bearing in mind that color has the power to influence how you and your viewers feel. So there's a lot of research around the psychology of color and marketing and branding, and it might be worth your while to consult a color expert if you haven't already in terms of selecting your brand colors. For props, think of things that are relevant to what you do. So perhaps a pretty notebook and a pen, maybe an iPad if you're a speaker, a signature mug or a bowl of flowers. For example, my stepdaughter Terry Lee is an interior decorator, and we use beautiful fabric sample books and paint swatches as props in her shoots, which is fabulous for people to see what she does. Number 3 is to utilize accessories if you're feeling a bit camera shy and you fancy a fun mood boost. So, for example, you'll be amazed if you try on a stylish hat or a scarf, avoiding hats that hide your eyes, obviously, then this can help to bring out your personality at a shoot, and it can give you something to do with your hands, inspiring you to strike some playful poses. It actually also works well with props, you know, like a journal or a pen or a cappuccino, if it's aligned with your brand and the vibe you want to convey, because it can actually be comforting and kind of take your mind off things if you're holding something familiar in your hand. Number 4 is for video. If you're wearing a lapel microphone, which is also called a lavalier, then you need to consider where it can be clipped on your clothing when you're dressing for your shoot, and where the transmitter box, which is a bit smaller than the standard iPhone, can be positioned. So, for example, in your back pocket or clipped onto your belt if you're wearing a dress, or placed on the chair behind you if you're sitting. Just something to bear in mind. And then the microphone itself would need a little spot around your neckline to be placed nicely. And then the last one, also on video, ensure that you don't have chunky jewelry that might get in the way of that microphone if you're wearing one, or cause sound interference by bumping it. And also be mindful of jewelry that makes a noise when you move, like bangles. You might really be surprised by how loud and distracting those noises can be once you edit the video. And then also avoid wearing noisy fabrics like leather or taffeta, for example.
So we're talking here about video and the noise. And also, how much shine and sparkle can there be without it interfering with the visual?
Yes, good point. It can do. And similarly, stripes. And checks can also almost strobe on camera. So you actually want to limit kind of the patterns if you can too. And just try to – actually bold, bright colors work really well for clothing, but like a simple bold color, as long as that's something that's comfortable for you.
Cool. Awesome. Okay, so now we're going to move into some video presentation tips to help us share our messages like a pro. First of all, let's just talk about – video. I know that the statistics now are that video is just way, way surpassing the interest of people on social media. Videos get watched more than things get read, and so it's very important. So tell us what you've been seeing about video.
Yes, it's hugely important. So my husband and I, we've had our business. We actually registered our corporate and commercial business in January 2001. So we've filmed a lot of people along the way. And the similar sort of struggles come up for, and I'm talking about successful people, Moni, too, and even speakers, because speaking on video is not the same as speaking on a stage. Because you need to really bring the personality, because you're not getting that energetic feedback
right.
from your audience like you get on stage. Okay, so the first thing is going to sound ridiculously obvious, but breathe. I can't tell you how often we've noticed our clients holding their breath a bit during a shoot. So when you're speaking to the camera or being interviewed on video, breathing naturally is crucial because it affects the quality, the tone, and the volume of your voice, which in turn influences how you feel about yourself in that moment and how you are perceived by your viewers. So if you're nervous or not used to being filmed, then often you may instinctively tend to take a big breath and start talking straight away, almost holding it in. We've seen this happen so many times. So instead, when you begin, take a few deep breaths and let them out fully. And then allow your breathing to normalize and relax into a rhythm before you begin.
Cool. Good tip.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Next is to set your tone. So another common tendency is to start speaking at a higher pitch than usual as a result of anxiety. So in that case, it can help you to consciously drop your voice to a slightly deeper pitch when you start to talk. So this can contribute to boosting your composure and your confidence while also setting a more compelling tone for your viewers and increasing your perceived credibility. So think of this as using your voice to command authority so that people are drawn to listen to you. The point is to be comfortable and confident, reinforcing your status as an expert in your field.
I want to just pause on this one for just a moment because this setting the tone. So when I first started doing radio, which is like 10 years ago now, I would put on my screen in front of me, I would put smile. Okay, so I'm on radio. And I was trying to remind myself to smile. And when I play music, like I sometimes play music for our worship team at church, and I will have notes on my music that say, come in softly or slower here or faster there. And I make big, bold notes to myself. And you can do this in your videos as well. You can actually make notes to yourself about at which point you want to increase the volume and at which point. But this is really important that you're the one, you don't, like you said, you don't have an audience that you're feeding off of at all. It's all you. So to think through the points that you really want to bring out and then to start at a point where you're not, like you say, I love that. Few deep breaths, get normal, and then start at the tone you want to start at instead of at your scared to death tone. So that's awesome. Okay, what's number three?
Yes. I just want to say I love your input there, Moni. Absolutely fantastic input. And I'm going to touch on something later, which ties back to this planning and preparing for your video. Yes, fantastic. I love your music notes idea too. And it leads me straight into the next tip, number three, which is to pace yourself. So give some thought to pausing at meaningful moments while you're presenting on camera. Pacing your message is really important in order to accentuate your key points and allow your words to breathe. This gives your audience cues to listen carefully at important moments, and it also gives them a chance to absorb what you're saying without feeling rushed. But you never want to bore them either, so you need to spend some time becoming really familiar with your own most comfortable pace and tone. Like you're saying, prepare your content in advance, and this can help you tremendously, whether you choose to script it or sketch an outline with some bullet points to keep you on track. But either way, you need to always remain authentic and fully present in the moment. You don't want to get distracted by thoughts of what you've just said or what you're about to say.
So was scripting it, was that part of the pacing? Is that what you included in that, or is that a separate point?
No, so the scripting is more to give yourself notes, and that's something that I'm going to mention later. So okay. I'll give you a little bit more detail. I'll give you actually quite a bit more detail, including my five secrets at the end for scripting.
Okay, great. Great.
Is that cool? Okay,
yeah.
So the next one, also picking up on what you said, 100,000%. Number four is to smile. Okay, and you can hear my voice as soon as I smile. So once you're breathing and you're speaking naturally and pacing your words, you need to remember to smile and frequently, like you said. So be sure that you're looking directly into that camera lens, making eye contact with your viewers. Honestly, a charismatic smile is among the most powerful tools in your arsenal to truly connect with people and to convey your message in a meaningful way. So like you said, let it light up your eyes and shine from your soul. Not only will your audience then catch a glimpse of your inner star, but you will bask in its glow yourself, raising the vibration of everything that you say. It's important, very important, when you begin your video, start with a pause, then follow that with a radiant smile, and then also smile at the end, followed by a pause as you continue looking into that lens. This is really important to facilitate your ease of editing afterwards, because you might want to add a little, you know, start and end to your video, and you need that extra bit of footage for the editing. Our clients often, when we're filming them, they'll often instantly look to us the minute they finish speaking, kind of for confirmation that they've done okay.
Right.
But don't be tempted to do that. You need to remember to keep looking into the camera lens for a strong finish, a beautiful smile, and a pause.
It really is almost like running a race, and you tend to slow down right before you get to the end line, but you can't. You have to run right through the rope.
Through the end, yes. Very important. Okay, and then my number five is to use everyday words. Okay, very important. Depending on what you do, it might also be tempting to use sophisticated language or industry-related jargon. But typically, your video is not for your peers. It's for your clients and the people that you're here to help. So avoid this whenever you can. Rather speak as plainly and directly as possible in your videos. And then mix it up. Try to use short sentences, dynamic verbs, present tense, and active voice. You want exciting language. And vary your words and phrases, particularly the way that you start your sentences and your paragraphs. Keep things interesting and, more than anything, real in the way that you naturally speak. And all the time, just remain clearly focused on your audience. It's all about their needs. So keep that in mind. And the more approachable, authentic, and considerate to them you are, the more they are going to connect with you.
I love that.
Okay, so that was number five. And number six is our final top video presentation tip for today. And that is to maintain good body language. So be aware of your posture. Like in your photos, you want to lean your torso slightly towards the camera, projecting that open, confident presence. Keeping your shoulders nicely relaxed down and back, your chest out and your tummy in, but more important than ever, to breathe naturally with your spine drawn up nice and straight. This is important for you to feel that sense of confidence too, and for them to pick it up from you. And use your hands mindfully to emphasize key points, keeping them within what's called the zone of authority between your waist and your chest. And then importantly, so this is different again from speaking on a stage, for example. When you're in front of a video camera, whether you're sitting or standing, you need to limit your body movement to the left and right of you, and also, as much as possible, stay in the same focal plane relative to the camera lens so that you remain in focus. In other words, stay the same distance away from that lens. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for you to remain in focus.
Good. I have a question, and maybe you were going to address it later, but when doing a two-person interview, I'm always wondering, what do I do? Do I look more at the other person, or do I look more at the camera, or what do you find that's the best for that?
What I like with a two-person interview is to use three cameras, so that there's one kind of angled at you and one at your interviewer or interviewee, and then another one in front that's picking up the whole scene. So where there's a highlight moment and you share a joke, for example, it's lovely to be able to cut seamlessly between the three. So I would say it's most natural to focus more on the person that you're talking to, particularly if you've got a camera kind of facing towards you. I've tried both, and I find it a little distracting when you're speaking to the camera and then back to the person. That can be a bit distracting for the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that would be my suggestion with an interview.
Yeah. And go ahead. What's your thought first?
No, I was just going to add one more little bonus tip, which is to add about 10% more personality. So this is less so in an interview, because an interview, you're getting that engagement and that interaction between you. So you are more lively by nature. But if you're speaking to the camera, just you yourself, then consciously add about 10% more personality than you usually would when you're speaking to someone. That's to keep your viewers engaged. And when you watch it, you'll actually look normal to yourself. But you need that extra energy.
Right. Well, and that's the same you and I here talking on radio. We talk more animated, more loudly. We're at a higher energy level than a typical conversation. Mm. In order to just transmit, the message that we're carrying across, if we just sat here and talked to one another, people would soon leave the station and go find something else to listen to. So it's just so true. So when an interviewer says to a guest on camera, do you have anything else you'd like to say directly to the audience? At that point, do you turn and look at the camera?
Yes, I think that would work very nicely, Marnie. Absolutely.
Okay.
Good point that you make there.
Yes, that's what I've done, and I've often wondered, is that the correct thing to do? Good.
Yeah, and I mean, you could, thinking about it, you could intersperse that in your interview too. You know, if you had sections where they're particularly saying, audience, if this applies to you, then here's something for you. That could definitely work.
For sure. Okay.
It's just to almost have sections so that the eyes are not jumping between the camera and you. Do you know what I'm saying? So they have a couple of sentences in a chunk that look in one direction, so that can be, even when you're editing, it just gives you nice sections to edit without it being jumpy.
Right. I can imagine that if you weren't sure where to look and you were going back and forth, that would just look very distracting all the way through. So just choose.
It can be. And
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have an insider strategy to help us maximize the impact of our messages on video.
Yes. Okay. So that's what we touched on earlier, Marnie, and that is the scripting. So, of course, people are extremely pressed for time and their concentration span is limited. So you need to convey that message concisely. And the best way to do it is to script your video, whether you do it in full or if you do it in bullet point form. And this is because nearly all of us tend to use more words than necessary when we speak or write, and to repeat ourselves when explaining something, and even to interrupt ourselves, especially if we're quick thinkers. So I want to share a classic example for me, which was creating my entry video to win a scholarship to Marie Forleo's phenomenal online B-School program. So she specified that our video needed to be a maximum of 90 seconds long, incorporating an explanation of who we are, what we do, and the greater why behind our business. So in other words, how it serves the good of others. Sounds really easy. Actually, it was far from easy. I wrote a draft script for my video, and then I copied it into, here's a little insider secret, the teleprompter app on my iPad. I don't know if you've ever used that, but it works like a bomb. So in the app, you can select the desired font size and scrolling speed for your script that works for you. And you can set that, and then you can see immediately how long it will take to read your script. So, and you don't want to read it, remember. You just want to reference it, and never in parent fashion. But when you do this, it's important to hold the iPad in the landscape position that you're going to be reading it, because your timing is different in landscape or portrait. So, I did this. Marnie, and I copied my script in, and I thought, easy peasy. And guess how long it was? 11 minutes.
Wow.
11 minutes. And I needed to get that down to 90 seconds. And I could never, ever have done that effectively without scripting. Never. So, but of course, it was possible. And then the final script was infinitely more impactful. You can imagine 90 seconds rather than 11 minutes. And that won me the scholarship that I'm so grateful for. But the most important thing is to know your content really well so that you're never reading a parrot fashion. And whether you use a script or not, even if you script it, one of the best ways to start off a script is actually to like record a voice note or get someone just to chat to someone, to interview you even, answering questions. This is what I did when I actually created my content for my online courses. I had my assistant at the time, but what I did is I brainstormed like a title, subtitle, and then a whole lot of questions, 120 questions that my clients have asked me over all the years, the key ones. And then we just sat in conversation and filmed this. So she was asking me the questions and I was responding. So it was conversational. And that's really important when you're scripting so that you've got that conversational tone. And one more thing I just want to mention about this. So once you've scripted it down and if you use your teleprompter, then it's very important, let's say it's on your iPad or your tablet of choice, make sure that it's just beside or just below the video camera lens and with both of them being at least 3 meters away from you. That's essential so that you appear to be looking into the lens and not reading. If it's too close to you, it's going to look like you're reading. So that's really important for a teleprompter.
So I was going to do 3 meters, 2 feet. Let's see what that is. That is about 9. Wow, 10 feet.
About 9 feet? Yes, about 10 yeah, it's quite
feet.
Far.
Wow, that's exactly. Far. Yeah, farther than I would have guessed.
Yes, and so the thing with that, Marnie, is that it's not ideal then to use a teleprompter, for example, with an iPhone because your mobile phone, you know, doesn't give you that Zoom capability.
Right.
So ideally, you would need to have a bit of Zoom capability so that you can do that. It's really important. Huh. Otherwise, you're going to definitely look as if you're reading. Yeah. but the brilliant thing about a teleprompter, if you want to get a key message across concisely, then it really works. And what happens is if you make a mistake, if you've got someone ideally helping you, who can stand there, you know, filming you, but also just managing your teleprompter. If you make a mistake or you ad lib, then they can just very quickly with one finger just pause the teleprompter and scroll it back like one sentence and you can just keep going. So you don't have to keep starting your video from the beginning. You know what I mean? You can actually just keep rolling, which is awesome.
Nice. Good. Okay. So what next?
So next we're looking at 5 secrets to script those compelling videos that capture your viewers' attention.
Awesome.
Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so you might know this one. The first is to kick off with key questions that position your content immediately and let your viewer know that it's for them and that they're in the right place. So similar to the way that you do when you're introducing your podcast, for example. So, for example, let's say I was creating a video now for our audience. I'd say something like, would you love to have consistently beautiful, authentic photos and videos of you to promote your company or career? If so, you're in the right place. And I'm going to share 5 key tips to get you started.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty simple. The next point is to incorporate relevant statistics that add impact to your message. Because this helps to position you as an expert and to capture your viewers' attention, get them to sit up straight away. So, for example, if you feel anxious or disempowered on camera, you are far from alone. According to a 2013 Dove survey, around 77% of women are more anxious taking a photo and posting it to social media than doing public speaking and having job interviews.
Wow.
That's
well,
perfect.
I remember the statistic you gave at the beginning of the show. You know, 52% of people just really feel uncomfortable. You know, it's just it's interesting how those statistics just bring home. Well, for one thing, it resonates with me. Like, oh, I'm not the only person who feels that way.
Absolutely. Exactly. So it helps you with that positioning as well. And obviously shows that you know your stuff, which is great.
Cool.
Shall I move on? Number three. Okay. So number three, where it's appropriate is to be authentic and vulnerable because this contributes to building that know, like, and trust factor for you and your brand in your viewer's heart and mind. So for example, in my Be School video and in a number of other videos, I share my story about growing up with a severe squint and hating how I looked, also on camera. In fact, so much so that I didn't keep a single photo of myself from before I turned 25.
Wow.
And that's when I met my husband, who really helped me to accept my squint. In fact, he loves it. He says
Aww.
It makes me that much more human and lovable. Exactly.
Aww.
That's his beautiful soul. And mind you, I can't tell you how many times people have said that connected with them. Not that they have a squint, but there's something about being vulnerable and human that is really what the thing that connects us, because none of us are perfect. And that's a beautiful
right.
thing.
Right. Yeah. When I think about this one, working with speakers and writers so much, I always say what you want to do is you want to be authentic and vulnerable where you have wounds that have scarred over. You do not want to be authentic and vulnerable where you have an open, gaping wound. Because when you put yourself out to the public, you really do open yourself up to whatever comments flow across people's brains when they're seeing you or hearing you. And so if you are still struggling, let's say, with the loss of a loved one, that's probably not the best time to go out and have that be your point of vulnerability. You get kind of past it and into a point of peace and stability before you go there. And I think it's just really important that we are really authentic and vulnerable with our audiences, but also that we don't jeopardize our own safety and our own security in doing so.
Yes, 100% I agree with you, Moni. Fantastic point that you make. And, you know, great guide is our emotion. If we find ourselves speaking about it and we're wanting to cry or we feel our voice shaking, we probably aren't ready yet. And the other important thing, exactly like you say, for our own protection, but also so that we can really give the best serve our audience in the best way by teaching something from what we've learned from that experience. That to me is the inspiration part of it. So yes, 100% agree with you.
I have to tell you that for years, I'm just a smiley person. And so for years, when I would tell a joke that I thought was really funny, I couldn't even get through it. I would just be laughing so hard. I couldn't get through it. So I'd have to tell it so many times, and to the point where it was okay for me to tell it without just busting up myself the whole way through, you know, so people could actually hear my words. And then, you know, on the other side too, sometimes we'll find that we are healed, we are doing better, but yet standing in front of a group of people or standing in front of a camera, we may all of a sudden tear up. And, you know, that's really okay. That is just adding humanity to the presentation. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not saying take all of the energy or all of the emotions out of it. I'm just saying if you are still struggling with something a lot, it's probably not the time to include that in your video or in your presentation.
Mm. Yes, beautifully said. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Moni. Fabulous.
And what's
number four? Number four is to always prioritize your viewer's point of view. So by highlighting what's in it for them the whole way through and framing your message using the word you instead of I wherever possible. So as an example, in my B-School video, instead of starting off with, "Hi, Marie, I'm Naomi, and this is all about me," I opened with this question. What if B-School could be the game changer for countless visionary but camera shy women across the globe? Why? Only 4% of women worldwide consider themselves beautiful. And there's another statistic for you that comes from a Dove survey called The Real Truth About Beauty, Revisited. So much more powerful to put the focus on them than on yourself.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, and then number five is to incorporate a clear call to action that guides your viewer to take the next step with you, to learn or experience more if they're inspired to do that. So a simple example is you can go to my website and sign up for my free online course. So this isn't about being pushy or salesy, but think about it as taking your viewer caringly by the hand and leading them on their way to their goal. If they've already watched all the way to the end of your video, it's likely that they'll want to learn more from you. So simply explain clearly how they can go about it.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, again, it comes with being comfortable with yourself and being comfortable with what you're offering, that you think this is really of value to them. Once we truly believe that what we're offering is of value, it is not difficult for us to lead the person that we're talking to it and say, this would be so helpful for you. But when we're concerned about it, when we're not sure that it's really a value, then it feels salesy and pushy. So I think in repositioning how you're thinking about your offer should be something that you can hardly wait for people to get a hold of, that you know this is going to improve their life, and that for the right person, this is just going to be exactly what they needed right now. And at that point, it's very easy for you to just tell them the next step, because of course they're going to want to do it, because you put this together for them to make their life so much better. Wow. Well, yeah. this is just so much great stuff. As we've been talking, have you thought of something that you wanted to be sure to include in this?
I've got one more beautiful quote that I love from Walt Whitman, and it is, do anything, but let it produce joy. So if you can be mindful of those words whenever you face the camera, remember I said that your mind holds one thought at a time, then for your photos and your videos, try and infuse that feeling that you want your viewers to feel into your own expression, and then you're going to be well on your way to shining on camera and becoming the star of your brand.
love it. So one of the things that I have done, and this is I took a training on this years and years ago, and actually, Naomi, I'm so grateful that you could join us today, because I've been wanting to do this for such a long time, and I just haven't had anybody who I really trusted to do this training. Everything kind of you've just done such a thorough job of researching how we can make our pictures and videos better. So I'm so grateful. One of the things that I did based on that training I had years and years ago was to actually take some music with that I liked and to play that music. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple songs that just make me smile every time. So Carly Simon, Mockingbird, that one, I have the video of that. It cracks me up every time, because they're up there and they're in the 70s and she's got big hair and they're dancing around on the stage and they're having so much fun. James and her are having so much fun performing that song. That's one of them that I use. Another one is Five Smooth Stones, which is like my theme song about little David when he killed the giant. Anyway, when I play those, something changes about my energy level. And I can't really produce that any other way. So have you seen anybody bring in music? Is that something that you've ever done?
I absolutely love music. So normally with video, sometimes with photo shoots, people will play music. I tend to have a lot of interaction with my clients while I'm doing photos and videos. So we tend to be talking a lot. So I have less focus on music, but it's more like on the way to your shoot, or even the night before, or just earlier, to really help you get into that vibe and that mood. Because I totally agree with you. Music is such a mood booster. And there are a number of things that you can do for that. So, of course, your selection of music for your video and how you integrate that into your video is also really key. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what I recognize now while you're speaking is that this is the difference between working with someone like you, who is such a pro at helping your clients to shine, versus going to a photographer who's good at what they do, but they really don't know how to pull the best out of people. They're not at that level of expertise. And that's where I found that the music was so helpful to take with, is when I was supposed to generate so much of it myself without a lot of help from the photographer. Does that make sense?
It does, Moni, and I feel for you there, because I, honestly, even my top models, I'm still giving input, because you're on the other side of the lens. And the other thing that I do that's very interactive, Moni, is in our studio, we have our computer connected to our camera directly. So the photos come up straight away on a big screen. So, and if I'm shooting on location, I'll show my clients. So there's a huge amount of feedback that they're getting during the shoot so that you can immediately see, ah, this is how I'm looking. And women, so men are not that worried about this. They'll be like, oh, it looks fantastic, great, and off they go. But not women. Women are like, oh, I wonder if I just want to change my hair a little or maybe my jacket. Oh, and I think I'd rather put my hands, you know, in terms of their posing. Would they really engage? And that's a wonderful thing. It's my favorite way to work because you learn so much when you're seeing what's happening in real time.
I think that's been one of the best things ever in more recent years is to be able to see as you're going along so that you can make the small changes. And you can see I'm really smiling too big, or I'm not smiling big enough, or, you know, you can make these changes as you go instead of just waiting to get the results, you know, later. So amazing. Oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marnie. I've so enjoyed our conversation. And again, I really, really appreciate this opportunity to spend time with you and your listeners. Thank you. Thank you.
That's so awesome. Well, you guys want to make sure to go over to NaomiEssmann.com. So, Naomi, when they get over there, what are they going to find?
So they'll find different ways that they can work with me. And the first thing they'll find on my homepage is a free online course that they can do, which will just take the next steps from this conversation in terms of helping them to shine on camera and become the star of their brand.
Obviously,
I've got my contact details, so I'm available on email. I love connecting with people, and it would be wonderful to do that. So that's probably the best starting point, Marnie. Thank you.
You bet. So you guys want to check
I was just going to say they'll also find like some sample videos and some galleries if they want to have a look at, the, you know, get a couple of different ideas for shoots. That's another thing that might be interesting.
Yeah. You actually offer courses at your site too, don't you?
I do. So from my main homepage, you'll see one of the ways to work with me is online courses, and that will whip you through to those. So, I've got a full course that I mentioned to you. The way that I did it was really through going through all the questions that we've been asked over 15, 16 years and longer of professional photography and videography. So it's very, very thoroughly put together in terms of the most pressing issues that so many people face and things that I kept, you know, found myself constantly telling my clients. So I thought, well, let's put this into a course so that, you know, anyone can access this and benefit from it.
Oh, so great. Thank you so much, Naomi. You have a wonderful evening there in South Africa.
Thank you, Marnie. And you too over there in the U.S. I'm going to go to bed now because it's almost midnight.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Just so love having you with us every week when we do these shows. And I hope that you gained a lot of value here. Share this show with other people that you know who need professional headshots or videos because this was fantastic information as usual. And you can learn more about this over at MarniesFriends.com. Also over there, you're going to find all of the back training materials for speakers and authors, media and marketing training, as well as women's ministry leaders and event planners. So that's over at MarniesFriends.com. Our sponsor is WomenSpeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,000 Christian women speakers, some near you. And also, this is Marnie Swedrick. My website is marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E.com, and I would love to see you over there. For those of you who host us on your websites, thank you so much. And for those of you who come and listen to the archives, we'd love that. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.